Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What the hell's going on out here?
Who do you think will win the Super Bowl this season? Could it be our hometown heroes, the Green Bay Lumpin' Bourgeoisie? Or maybe the Kansas City commodity fetishism? How about the Pittsburgh Proletariats? If writer Steve Allman's proposal for the Marxist Football League becomes a reality, this is a definite possibility. Steve is the author of many books, including Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. One of the highlights of the book is a thought experiment that really resonated with me. Steve joins Beta now to walk us through it.
Well, this comes through the writer Chuck Klosterman, who writes a lot about sports, and I love his writing. He's brilliant. But he has this quote in one of his books. He says, the reason the NFL is so dominant is because the NFL is basically Marxist. And what he's getting at is the idea that the NFL owners agreed to divide up their TV proceeds equally early in the league's history in order to be able to support the whole league. And Klosterman was sort of exaggerating for effect. That is not Marxism. But when I read that, I thought, what would it be like if the NFL, which is to me kind of capitalism on steroids, what if it was truly Marxist? Well, first, there'd be no private ownership, right? Therefore, there would be no team owners. All those wealthy dudes who are trading football teams like they're, you know, poker chips at the great gilded casino of billionaires, they would not exist. The teams would be owned by the cities that they lived in, right?
Right.
And they would be represented, right, by these different cities, and those would belong to the state, meaning the government.
The importance of the Green Bay Packers to this city and to the, and I'll say the state of Wisconsin, is huge. You have to understand that the owners are the people. They own the team. You know, we don't have an owner. We have the fans. They're the owners.
Employees would therefore be paid according to this Marxist edict, which we all know, from each according to his ability, to each according to his or her need. And so you would have a top quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and he would not be paid $50 million a year. He would be paid based on his needs. Let's say he had a couple of kids. Well, he'd make $100,000 a year. That's fair. And the worker who washes his jock strap, or the custodian who mops the floors of the locker room, might be paid just as much as Aaron Rodgers, maybe even more if he has greater needs. That is quite remarkable to think about. And star athletes ostensibly could still earn large sums of money from endorsement deals from the private industry, but the league would have to decide, if it was Marxist, would have to decide whether these payments violated its Marxist ethics, its tenets. You would not have Commissioner Goodell earning 60 some odd million dollars a year. That just would not exist.
With that, Mr. Goodell, you are now recognized for your testimony.
I am Roger Goodell, Commissioner of the National Football League, and I'm here today to discuss the NFL's efforts to promote safe and respectful workplaces.
And one of the things that could happen is, what would you do, Doug, with the staggering profits?
Yeah.
The NFL earns north of $10 billion a year. Just imagine if that money were no longer being divvied up by this cabal of geriatric magnates or funneled to these star athletes. Right, we can safely assume that the operating costs for the Green Bay Packers, for instance, would be a fraction of the nearly $15 billion that the NFL is going to generate in profits this season.
The major issue during the lockout was splitting up more than $9 billion in league revenues. The old agreement saw nearly a 50-50 split. The new deal gives the owners 53% and the players 47%.
So you would then have a balance of, let's say it's $13 billion that would be available for redistribution to societal needs, such as what? Early education, medical and renewable energy research, intervention for at-risk populations, free therapy for everybody who needs it, mental health counseling. Fans would be in this strange position of justifying their support of pro football by saying, look, it's socially conscious to be a football fan, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's the truly mind-blowing thing is we, with our money and our attention as fans, feed into this. We are the reason that there are $15 billion in profit each year. And we are contributing to a system where all of that money is absolutely residing at the top. These owners have found a way, in fact, to force public officials in various cities to actually pay for their stadiums to be built, even though they're going to profit from those stadiums.
Yeah, Steve, this is where they build that proposed billion-dollar stadium, right here on this lot, right near UNLV's Thomas and Mack Center. Public money would cover about $750 million of that. Tonight, we're asking, is that fair?
And to me, those kind of obscene economic incentives we've really become used to, but thinking about a world in which you remove them, it would be quite astonishing. Now, a lot of people might say, would Aaron Rodgers play football if he wasn't earning $50 million a year? And to my answer to that would be, well, the people who really love football love it because they're great at it, and they make miracles with their bodies, and they are given a tremendous amount of love and adulation and fame from the culture.
They are going to bring pressure again. Rodgers is going to roll away, throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Janis does it.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
Oh, my, that may be one of the great throws ever made. Moving to his left, falling away, and launching a perfect throw.
That's insane.
The fact that our capitalist system converts that fame into millions of dollars is really a byproduct of the attention and adulation that we feed them. And to me, if I were a football player, I think probably, and I spent my life getting good at football and feeling the importance of a team game and the sacrifice for the greater good of the team doing well, and everybody knew me wherever I went and said, hey, you're Aaron Rodgers, that great quarterback, right? Or Steve Allman, that lousy quarterback. I think that would be enough of an incentive for me to at least consider playing professional football, knowing that, okay, I'm not necessarily going to earn billions of dollars, but remember, we're in a Marxist world. Nobody's earning billions of dollars. What I'm getting is the adulation of people respecting the miracles I make with my body when I play football. I think that would be a pretty good incentive for a lot of football players.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's take this one step further and imagine that there is a Marxist version of NFL films, MFL films, which I think would feature a lot of agitprop. What do you think MFL films would look and sound like?
You're right. The NFL films is sort of the propaganda wing of the NFL, and it's big on valorizing the kind of masculine combat and the toughness and emphasizing sort of in a way that good propaganda does just how dramatically thrilling it is. I mean, I wrote against football as a way of trying to examine the moral kind of underside of the sport. But I'm a fan. I'm a hardcore fan in recovery. I have trouble looking away when the replays are on the TV at the gym. I am not tearing myself away saying I mustn't watch this brutal sport. I'm like, okay, how did the Raiders do? So I think that NFL films would probably be an interesting combination. You would have the dramatic music. You would have the tough linebacker making the big hit and the dramatic sort of flow of a particular game. But then you can imagine that at the end of that clip, they would say, you know, this season the NFL has generated $13.75 billion. Let us show you some of what the NFL has done for you. And then you would have a beautiful montage of all the things that $13.75 billion could do for the cities where NFL teams exist. Cities, right, like Green Bay or Cleveland or Baltimore. There's a tremendous amount that that kind of money could do to improve schools and create economic opportunity and care for the sick and really comfort the afflicted. And if NFL Films wants to throw in their lot for being a humanitarian organization and publicizing the way in which your fandom of football is helping your community, I am all in on that propaganda film.
Excellent. Thank you. Steve Allman, thank you so much for joining us to talk about the Marxist Football League. And I anticipate, well, you're kind of busy with your writing and stuff, but I think you would make up the perfect commissioner for the MFL.
Well, I will go ahead and accept that as the job that I will have in a few years when our mutual dream of a truly Marxist NFL comes true. It's not that much of a reach. It's not like we're taking on the central entrenched powers in the culture. You know, a couple of guys like us, we can get this done. We can do it.
Absolutely. I look forward to working with you on it.
All right, great.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Almond is the author of Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. Comrades, you will find out more at WPR.org/beta. After hearing Steve talk about the idea of a Marxist football league, it got us thinking about how we'd all be on the same playing field as football players. Maybe, just maybe, we'd close our show with credits just like they do on primetime football games. Now let's meet today's starting lineup.
Steve Gotcher, producer, music and technical director, University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point.
Tyler Ditter, producer, University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh.
Adam Friedrich, executive producer, nay, showrunner, the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Doug Gordon, host, producer, University of British Columbia, go Thunderbirds. Nah, that doesn't have the same ring to it. Oh well, let's do this the old-fashioned way. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Frankie Quinones, Sandra Newman, and Steve Almond. Beta is available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. Search Beta and Wisconsin Public Radio to subscribe, like, and comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRbeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Our music and technical director is Steve the Rev Gotcher.
He's a Unitarian Universalist. Those fools are like hippies, but angry.
Additional production by Tyler Ditter.
It's not about me, okay? It's about me helping all of you.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Why does your body still look 19, but your face looks 56, fool?
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
You're 5'5" at best. Now go back to your bush.
Trying to make it real compared.